Well, welcome to the SR podcast. Man, it's good to have Jimmy on this. This might be his first SR podcast.
I'm the newbie.
It's not any different. I mean, it's different from the members podcast. So it's not like you don't know what you do yourself.
That's right. You've redecorated the place.
That's right. Jimmy's in the app. I'm just waiting for Jimmy to hit that fire button in the app, because as soon as he does, that thing's going to blow up and it's going to be amazing. I always like watching Jimmy on social media. He's got an ability I don't have.
I do what I do.
You do what he does, what he does. So anyways, we're excited. And for those of you that might think that SR is, I mean, it's just, we record 4 weeks out. This might be 5 weeks out now. And it's so hard to know, like, what is going to happen. You know, the Lord come back before all this happens. But well, I
appreciate
not prophets, all of you.
Apparently.
No, I appreciate all you being patient. We are getting more and more groups available, more and more people coming online. If you want to help Semper Reformanda, send us a message and we'll get you on the team of volunteers, because that's what it takes. It takes, what does it say? It takes a community.
Takes a village. Takes a village.
Take a village. Right. There you go. That's right. Gentlemen, this subject is a tough one for me. It's why I plant churches. It's why I painstakingly tried to convince Kelsey, because that's who I needed to convince, Jimmy's wife, to plant a church. She was like, I don't know about this.
Yeah. What you talking about, Willis?
And we just planted. I know Justin's planted a church. There are certain... let me put it this way. I don't think a day goes by where we don't get contacted, where someone says, please plant a church with us, or do you know of a good church in our area? Yeah. And we don't mean to say like there's only three churches. There are tons of them. We're about to partner with a lot of them. We get the struggle when it comes to learning this theology. The toothpaste is out of the tube. And now what do you do? Because you really, really want Christ and him crucified, and you want to be in a Christ-centric community. And, you know, that might not be your situation.
Right.
I had to counsel a lot of people. And unfortunately, you hear two options. I mean, your option is to move or plant a church. And if you're not qualified to plant, then you should probably move. Yeah. Justin and Jimmy, talk to me about people. Let's not be hypocritical. Let's use proper assessment. Is it me? Is it my context? I think these are appropriate. The more and more people grow, the more and more they are going to have to make these kind of conclusions. I think more people should probably stay than leave. I think they get to a point where their pastor doesn't perfectly agree with them. They get a little... Look, let's not be fundamentalist here where we have to agree on absolutely everything. That is just not helpful at all.
And you don't want to be so, like you said, you don't want to be a fundamentalist, but you also don't want to have this posture of, if you don't agree with me on everything, then clearly this church is just not for me. And you don't want to be one of those people that is a nightmare to pastor, because you're constantly grumbling and complaining to the leadership that they're not teaching what they need to be teaching, or they're not leading the way they should be leading. That's going to be of no help to them or you, like a la Hebrews 13, right? Mm-hmm. So you don't want to be those kind of people. And I think if we're having a conversation about staying or going, I know that we've talked about these things before, but I really do think you just have to start to assess things, you know, at various levels. You know, like if I'm looking around and I know that what's being done is contrary to scripture, then I should leave the church. I mean, that's pretty clear. But if I look around and I'm thinking, you know, the gospel is preached and there's some good things going on, there are some things that I would like to see be done differently, but I think I can plant myself here and love others and encourage them, and then stay, by all means stay. But yeah, if you feel like you're shriveling up and dying, if you're discouraged all the time, and you do find that it's just very difficult for you to even want to attend services and all these kinds of things, then yeah, I think you should think about switching the church that you're attending and become a member elsewhere where you can worship in good conscience, and that might require a move. I don't have any unique wisdom on this, I don't think. I mean, I know what I would say for myself and my family, and I've said this a number of times, if I wasn't even concerned about being an elder at a church somewhere, regardless of the denomination, I want to go somewhere where I'm going to get the goods every Sunday, where I'm going to be given Christ in the word and in the table. Yeah. And that's what I want for my family. I don't want moralism. I don't want tips on how to live better. Right. I don't want pietism, where we're going to basically be told to prove that we're legit in Christ all the time. I want to be given Jesus and reminded of what he's done for me. And that's what I want my wife and kids to sit under too.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a couple categories that we need to distinguish, right? I mean, John mentioned one earlier that if there is just some blatant sin being preached from the pulpit, or I mean, just like it's all wackadoodle. Obviously, that's clear. But by and large, that's not the majority of people's experience in discerning whether or not they should leave a church.
Right.
I think a lot of people that listen to this podcast or similar ones, they come into this new way of thinking and approaching the Christian life, and they realize that maybe their church is not there yet. And so...
And may never get there.
And it may never get there, right? Yeah. So I've walked through this with a lot of people. And one of the questions I tend to ask is, can you be a unifying agent at this church?
Correct.
Can you keep unity in the spirit of and the bond of peace at this church? Can you not be a theological thorn in the flesh of the pastor? Right. And if the answer is no, well, then it's like, well, then you need to get out, because actually you're going to be the problem, right?
You're going to be harmful to other people.
Exactly. Yep. Like, you are going to be the person that discourages your pastor, and you don't want to do that, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, can you plug your nose and partner and, you know, receive Christ from the pulpit? And even though they might, you know, have 1,000 ministries that you might not want to do or be part of, I mean, at some point, you know, if you're a congregant, there's only so much you can do.
Agree. I think many congregants would be helped to realize just that. I tell people this regularly too, like even guys that are going to maybe take staff roles at churches, but certainly if you're just going to move and go join one, do not deceive yourself into thinking that you can change the culture of the church.
No.
Like, unless you're the main preaching pastor, you really don't have your hands on the steering wheel.
No.
Because what's going to change a church culture over the course of years is the preaching that comes from the pulpit.
That's right.
And the doctrine that is proclaimed and heralded from there.
And
if you're not the one doing that, you're going to have a hard time really moving that needle. And you need to be okay with it.
Yeah. And thank you that you said that. Years, guys.
Yeah.
Years. Not overnight. Not like your pastor or one of us, we might hit a home run sermon, right? But that one sermon probably isn't going to be the thing that changes everything, right?
It's going to be very rarely does one sermon change.
That's right.
Your salvation.
Well, right. I mean, but
we're talking about the culture of a church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like realistically, it's going to be, you know, I feel like for the past 2 years, I have preached consistently Christ and Him crucified at our church. Mm-hmm. But there's still, as I look at our church, I mean, I would not say that people are just knocking it out of the park. Now, does that mean that something is wrong with the preaching? No, I think it just means that we're sinners, right?
That's right.
And like, it takes time.
Like, John, I know you've said this. Like people listening to the podcast, like, we'd love for you to visit our churches, but just prepare to be disappointed, okay? Like,
absolutely.
You know, like, we've got our issues, and our elders have to work through things, and you know, I was on the phone with John last week about a few things in our church that we had to work through. And I mean, it's just, we're normal, you know, we're average.
I think you'd be pleasantly not surprised.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But you're like, oh, that's underwhelming.
Yeah.
But yet encouraging. It's like, exactly.
Right. Exactly.
One of the things, guys, that more and more is coming true and what I'm battling with, and I'm trying in my own ways to deal with this, but a proper ecclesiology, which is a big word, which is the theology of the church. Another way of saying this is that the Bible emphasizes the priority of the gathered saints under a covenant community. Like, you are gathered underneath a leadership. You have officers who do things like deacons. And we see the function of it as necessary for a building and an offering and having a place to play music and hear a good sermon, but we don't understand the priority it takes in the spiritual restoration and sustaining of our faith. And what's hard is that part of what Jimmy and Justin and I are doing is, in our local context, the people walking into our church, one, are not Reformed, two, they're not covenantal, Three, they don't even know what the priority of local church is. They're there for all kinds of various reasons. Location, someone invited them. They may have heard of Theocast. They may have heard of, you know, whatever. So I always chuckle when people walk into our context thinking that everybody they're sitting with is in agreement mm-hmm. with me. I'm mm-hmm. like, the only person who's in agreement with me is me. Not even my wife's in agreement with me. So we are constantly trying to move people towards a direction. And I would say, first, we want them to rest in Christ. Mm-hmm. Second, we want them to trust the priority of the local church, which is really hard to do because one, it's against our flesh, and two, it's against everything Christianity is telling us to be a part of. So one of the things that I look forward to doing with Theocast is just shifting this culture away from individualism, I must do this on my own, to saying, no, you really should trust broken people and a broken pastor to guide you. And I mean, it literally says, submit to your elders, for they watch over your souls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, it is important kind of elder you submit to. And secondly, it's important you obey that you do. You allow them to shepherd you. I mean, when it says in Ephesians that the job of the pastors and elders is to equip you with God's word so that you aren't tossed about by every wind of doctrine, so that you may do the work of ministry, you can't poo-poo that. They're there to build you up, to strengthen you, encourage you, to make sure that you aren't being flailed about by really bad thoughts. The one thing I didn't get to say in the regular episode, I'll say now, the primary job of the church is to fight against your stupid counsel that you give yourself every week. You say the dumbest things to yourself, and then you show up to church, and you hear the gospel in the table, in the sacraments, and in the word, and your thoughts are corrected. Like, that was dumb. You shouldn't think that. And this is how you should think. And we need it week after week. This is why I love a community where at our church, I mean, and I know that both of you guys, other elders give communion because I too need my heart corrected. I too need to be told, John, that's sinful. You shouldn't think that way.
Right. No, totally, man. I mean, I know that there was always the joke about Sunday morning service. For a while, you know, people come to church to kind of get their spiritual vitamin, or, you know, they come to get their encouragement so that they make it through the week. And I've even joked on this podcast before about how so often the Sunday morning gathering is aimed at the non-believer. And it's like a stationary Billy Graham crusade rally or something where we're just trying you know, get people to walk down the aisles and things. And we all three, I know, are committed to the fact that the assembly on Sunday morning is for the saints. And we need to have Christ preached and offered to us. And it's exactly for the reason that you just stated, because we have forgotten the truth of God all week long, because the world has preached a different message to us. Our own consciences preach a different message to us. Our experiences preach a different message to us. And we come into church with all kinds of ridiculous thoughts about all kinds of things. And we can actually sit for an hour or 2 hours or however long in the same room with people who have agreed to submit to the same doctrine and the same oversight of the same pastors. And we watch over each other and we're reminded, at least for that period of time, about Christ and who he is and what he's done for us and what's true.
Yeah. Yeah. And to tie this in with the regular portion of the podcast, right? I mean, the things that you just said, Justin, those are the things, our conscience, you know, the world, the flesh, the devil, right? Yep. The messages of the world, the messages of our own hearts and conscience, the messages of those are the things that discourage us by and large, right? And you could really summarize all of those things to be the messages of the world will say, God has abandoned you, right? Mm-hmm. God has left you. God is not enough for you.
Or God is not good.
And God is
faithful.
God is mean or angry or vindictive. And so that is why Hebrews 10 says, you know, don't neglect.
Yes.
Meeting together. Why? Encouraging one another as the day draws near, right? Mm-hmm. Like when I show up on a Sunday morning, and granted, I'm the pastor, right? But even if I was a lay congregant, let me just say this to the lay congregant. When you show up, it encourages your pastor's heart.
Sure.
Right? It encourages him and it encourages other people. Because it's you can look out and say, all of these people, like, okay, something that I do, maybe, I don't know, maybe you guys think this is weird. I discourage people from taking the elements of the Lord's table with their eyes closed.
Because we're to do it with one another.
Right. Don't close your eyes. Like if you and I were having a family meal and you had your eyes closed the whole time, it would be super weird, right? Because you're not having a solo experience. You're having a communal time, right?
That's so good. That's
so
right.
So in, like I said, a lot of times I say, take a moment and look at the sinners around you. Like what we are doing right now is we are tasting and seeing that the Lord is good.
Yeah. Amen. And I would say the same is true. The same is even true for singing and other things like this. I'm not saying that you can't, you know, that you can't close your eyes or whatever, but it's like we are singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to one another to encourage each other in the faith. Right. I mean, that's the point of coming on Sunday. And there's a reason why listening to a sermon corporately with other brothers and sisters in a church where you're a member is so different than listening to your favorite preacher on your earbuds could ever be. Because listening by yourself is not remotely the same thing.
Right. Hmm. One is definitely edifying. It's good, encouraging. Sure. You guys listen to Theocast and you're encouraged to increase your knowledge and your understanding, but it cannot be your source of, as Paul says, he doesn't say, I mean, of course, technology didn't exist back then, but he very pointedly points to the forms in which the church is designed to care for the local. Let me just read you a list here. These are the forms that God gives us of how we receive outside of ourselves the comforts of a fellowship. We hear the word of God read. As Justin has said, we hear it sung. The purpose of singing, y'all, is to be encouraged in the truth of Christ.
With
fellowship,
each other.
Right? We gather around. We have meaningful conversations. We hear it preached. We hear it taught. We pray the scriptures. We taste the scriptures, as Jimmy said. We taste and see that Christ is good for us in remembering of our justification. Mm-hmm. We see it in baptism. Every single one of those has been commissioned to the local body to be done for one purpose, for the building up and encouragement. It literally says when the body functions properly, it builds itself
the building
in love.
Up of the body in love unto maturity. That's the, that's the whole goal.
Yeah. Right. So if you're not in a context where they are reading, singing, fellowshipping, preaching, the words being taught, they're taking the sacraments, you guys are confessing sins. I mean, James 5:13, confess your sins to one another. I mean, these are so important. I love that verse. It takes so many people off guard. I say, y'all want to obey your Bibles, right? Yeah, you want to be holy and righteous, right? Correct. Great. We're going to practice James 5:13 today, right now. Go. And you see people go, what? We're not doing that. Yeah. It's like, well, I guess you're going to disobey your Bible today.
Yeah, y'all got me fired up to go back to church.
Come on now.
It's Holy Wednesday.
You know, I mean, obviously, we invest a lot of time in producing this resource every week. And it's not that things like this are pointless or irrelevant or can't be helpful, but they are a supplement what we would say the main diet of the Christian life is, which is the gathering on Sunday morning at your local church.
That's right.
And yeah, I mean,
I use this as a supplement to my congregants because I put time into it.
Yeah,
I honestly, Justin, Jimmy, and I, we do this because we know it's a benefit to our church, but we do not trust that this is the source by which our church shall be cared for. That is a foolish thing to think.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, if somebody came up to me off the street and said, hey, thanks for, you know, being on Theocast and putting out that resource. At the end of the day, it just really encouraged me to be part of a local body. I'm like, all right.
Amen.
Like,
can I say this statement to Jimmy's point? If Theocast is successful, which this will never happen, but if Theocast is successful, it will cease to exist.
Well, it's just right. I mean, it's like you in ministry, like in a ministry like this, you're actually doing this in hopes of putting yourself out of business. Because the goal of the whole thing is that local churches will be giving people Christ to the extent, and they will be healthy to the extent that something like this isn't even needed.
Right. And we just, and the reality is, that's just never going to be the case. There's always going to be bad doctrine. There's always going to be unbelievers. Yep. There's always going to be churches who are floundering. Yep. And, you know, thank God that we can use ministries. Like for instance, during the Reformation, what sparked the Reformation was technology. It was the printing press. And men started to write books that were just spreading throughout the world like wildfire, and it changed pastors. It created pastors. It started churches. Right. I mean, John Calvin was a beast when it came to planting churches. Mm-hmm. So,
and training,
gentlemen.
Pastors.
Any other thoughts? Yeah. I know that we have we all have to get onto our priestly duties today.
Yeah, I mean, putting a bow on it's like show up to church on Sunday and battle discouragement with other saints who are also battling discouragement, and cling
encourage
to each other.
Your pastor.
Cling to encourage each other as you all cling to Jesus, and encourage your pastors. Amen. Yeah.
And I will say that, like, I mean, maybe this is going to seem like shameless as a pastor. I can guarantee you, listener, your pastor is encouragement starved. So yeah. Shoot him a text.
Hey, not only do you encourage your pastor when you show up to church on Sunday, you encourage the other saints at your church when you show up on Sunday.
That's right.
So yep. In every good way I could mean it, get over yourself and go to church this weekend.
That's right.
Yep. And there's nothing wrong, and let's talk about shameless, but there's nothing wrong with walking up to your pastor and say, what you preached from Christ today encouraged my heart. You're not giving him the praise. Mm-hmm. You're thinking Christ and his faithfulness to take the work to present it to you. I guarantee you'd encourage your pastor.
Yeah,
totally.
Amen. All right, gentlemen. Thank you guys so much. Jimmy, it's so good to have you here, my friend.
So fun.
And we'll have you back very soon. Semper F. Romani, get in the app. Talk to us. We have this new thing called Tavern Live where you can hop in and just have conversations face to face like you would at a bar. So, or a tavern, not a bar, a tavern. Taverns are sanctified because that's what White Horse Inn bit their ministry off of. So we can use that as well. Okay. That's my justification.
There we go.
Whatever.
That's settled.
I need to end this. We love you guys. We'll see you next week.
Peace out.